Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Want to manage your internet image? Don't worry, there's help out there. Hi friends, welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is our second day of keeping up online reputations. And this is Naomi back in the studio with Brian and Joanna. Now, Brian, can you tell us a little bit about what we learned yesterday?
Sure. Yesterday we learned about these services like Yelp that aggregate all of a business's reviews and put them in one place so the business can go and review them quickly and, especially important, find the negative reviews quickly.
Mm-hmm. Joanna, what else did we discover?
Well, we discovered the advantage of all this new social media and technology that's empowering customers to leave reviews.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, some places will get the occasional bad review, and there's a few ways to deal with that. What did the lady in our article do?
Well, she changed what she was doing. She responded, and she said, okay, if you think the cupcakes are too dry, maybe they really are. And so she tried to make them more moist, and it worked.
Right. They got a positive follow-up. Now, some companies will actually write reviews themselves, you know, try to increase their positive reviews, which is kind of unethical.
It is. And if you know what to look for, it's sometimes a little bit obvious too.
Yes.
Especially I think of reading like Amazon reviews.
Yes.
Sometimes they just seem a little too packaged, fake.
Yes. And so it is possible to buy good reviews, but that is not being honest, right? Like, that's a terrible way to run your business. And if I thought that that was happening, then I would be much less likely to use that product or stay in that hotel than if I know that the reviews are authentic, that they're real. So that's an issue for sure. But I do like the idea of responding to certain negative comments and trying to improve. And it just got me thinking about, I mean, even offline, in life, in our work or whatever, sometimes we get some negative feedback.
Yeah, we were talking off air earlier about different complaints we've all received in our work life. I was mentioning one, a customer complained to my manager about me and said I was racist, which I didn't think was very fair at all. And actually, I was quite offended by that, but I wasn't allowed to address her personally or anything, so I just had to, you know, let it go. That's not true about me, so.
Right. It seemed like it was kind of based on a misunderstanding.
I think so.
Yeah, and so then in that case, you sort of have to say, okay, I'm not going to worry about one negative comment. I just need to move on and keep trying my best. But sometimes people give us some feedback where we think, okay, well, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but maybe I can learn something from this.
Yeah, that's right. It's good to be flexible and humble and teachable.
Definitely. I remember my first job ever. I left to go home at the end of the day. It was like a secretary job at the school I had gone to. And I went to go home and my boss said, whoa, stop. You never leave work with your desk looking like that. I had left some papers out, you know. And I said, what? She said, you have to tidy up your desk before you leave every day. And so that was my first work lesson. And even today, I really try to make an effort to make sure my things are organized before I leave for the day. And I think it makes me more productive. So I'm actually really grateful for that negative feedback because I feel like it did improve my abilities at work. So, I think it sort of depends on the situation, how we take it.
Yes, you can always learn from constructive criticism. And the more, you know, feedback you get, you can tell whether, you know, this is something valuable that I need to take into account, or this is just somebody, you know, saying nasty things because they can. Don't worry about it.
Right, exactly. Well, when it comes to small businesses, it could be tempting for them to not pay too much attention to those negative reviews, to just say, oh, we won't worry about them. But is that really wise? Let's find out in our first reading today on page 43.
reputation and revenue. While it may be tempting for small business owners to shrug off a few lousy reviews, industry research shows benign neglect of a company's online reputation could quickly hurt sales, especially given the new normal behavior of customers consulting their smartphones for even the smallest of purchases. Sites give businesses sight. Review sites have exploded in recent years in number and types. Yelp is widely regarded as the most influential general review site, while Google Plus Local and Foursquare are often mentioned as rivals. TripAdvisor is the go-to spot for hotel owners, but also lists a ton of reviews for restaurants and tour operators. Angie's List specializes in services. People are also increasingly airing their complaints on social media channels, such as Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube. Review trackers trace their history to press clipping services, and large companies migrated to digital solutions early on, spending a good chunk of their marketing budgets to gauge not only reviews, but to learn more about influential writers, bloggers, product issues, complaints, and compliments.
So we begin this part of our reading with our subhead, reputation and revenue. Two R words. What do they mean, Brian?
Well, reputation, of course, means the way people perceive you, and revenue is your business income. So those two things can go hand in hand.
Definitely. Now we continue by seeing that, basically what we were talking about before.
Yes, that it might be tempting for small business owners to shrug off a few lousy reviews, meaning just say, whatever, someone complained about me, they don't matter, whatever. It might be tempting to do that.
Definitely it would be. And lousy reviews would be negative reviews. So if I got, 10 good reviews and 3 bad ones, I might say, those guys don't know what they're talking about. I'm not going to worry. Maybe they just have different taste. But there's an issue here.
That's right. Industry research shows that benign neglect of a company's online reputation could be hurtful. It could hurt sales. And benign neglect, benign meaning good-spirited, not meaning not any harm intended.
Right.
No harm intended. They just neglected to do it. And it actually could hurt their sales just by ignoring these reviews.
Right. Neglect. Don't pay attention to them. The issue is that the new normal behavior of customers is to do what before they buy?
Well, they consult or look at their smartphones for even the smallest of purchases, like going to get a hamburger. They check their cell phone, where's the nearest burger place and what do people think of it,
Right. Yes, and before I order anything, especially if I do some online shopping for clothing or shoes, I always read through the reviews. Mm-hmm. And if they say anything negative, it can delete that item from my basket very, very quickly. And so all businesses really need to pay attention to this, even though they might think it's quite harmless to have a few negative comments. They would be wrong. However, we do have these kind of advisor sites. There's lots of new ones coming up, and we do have these review trackers to help us pay attention to who's saying what. So first we see that review sites have exploded in recent years in number and types. So there are more and more of them and more different kinds of them. The first one we mentioned is one we already talked about.
That's right, Yelp. And it is widely regarded as the most influential general review site. So influential meaning it has the widest influence, the most influence among all these general review sites.
Good. So widely regarded just means a lot of people agree that Yelp is sort of number one. What else is mentioned?
Well, they also mentioned Google Plus Local and Foursquare as potential rivals to Yelp. So they probably provide similar review services.
They're sort of competition with Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, as we move on, we may have mentioned this one in our discussion, TripAdvisor.
That's right. It's seen as the go-to spot for hotel owners. Go-to spot meaning you have to go there. It's a must. So it seems to be number one in this area.
And it is for me. I always check TripAdvisor before I book with a hotel because it has the most comprehensive reviews. They check everything and they have user-uploaded photos and reviews and categories and so on.
I use TripAdvisor as well, especially for me when I travel. It's important, even if I'm staying at some sort of budget place, it's important for me to know where it is, what people think of it. Is it clean? Is it safe? And reviews will be honest. Even if the hotel writes 10 reviews, like fake reviews, one review saying, you know, you have bed bugs will make me choose somewhere else.
Absolutely. Okay, but it doesn't only focus on hotels.
That's right. It lists a ton of reviews for restaurants and tour operators, which is interesting. You might be able to pick the right tour operator for you.
Mm-hmm. And a ton? What do we mean by that?
It means a lot.
Right. Okay, and finally, Angie's List, I believe, is still focused mostly in the United States, but it specializes in services. So, for example, if you're looking for a babysitter or you're looking for an electrician, Angie's List has people who review various companies and say, yes, they're trustworthy. No, they won't charge you too much. You know, I brought my car to this mechanic and he did a great job for a great deal. And so that would be very, very useful, especially if you're new to an area and you don't have a lot of friends who can recommend certain services. As we continue, what else do we learn about this?
We also learn that people are increasingly airing their complaints on social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube. Airing means to let out into the open. I sometimes air my laundry, clean laundry, I hope, get some fresh air into it, dry it out. So if people are airing their complaints, they're putting them out in public.
Right. And I get a little tired of this, actually. I have a lot of friends who say, oh, I just ate here. It was the worst hamburger I've ever had. People love to complain, don't they?
It seems to attract attention. Yeah.
That's true. So there are a lot of different places where you can do that. And the good side is that there's also a lot of places where you can talk positively about the things that you enjoy. So it does go both ways.
When I personally leave a review, if it's only, mediocre, I won't say anything about it.
Right.
But if I had a very good experience, I like to say that. And if I've had a very negative experience, I'll say that too. But I don't like to be too harsh. I like to say something constructive. This is the way the food could have been better. This is the way my steak could have been better. This is what you can work on. I think the internet has given people a sense of anonymity. They can just say whatever they want without anything happening. They can be as harsh and hateful as they want, not realizing that real humans are reading their words. And they can be hurtful. They can hurt people's business.
It's interesting how in a lot of reviews, it seems like just general common decency and politeness have sort of flown out the window.
Yeah, and maybe some of that is the anonymous people who have some strange username that's not a real name and a picture that's not their real picture. So they feel like, oh, I can say whatever. But I think some of that will start to change as people tend to start using more of their real names and things like that.
Right. And I think actually to me, a negative review is more trustworthy if it isn't just sort of, this was horrible. But if they say something like, oh, it was delicious food, but the service wasn't great. We waited really too long for our food. Or, if they talk about a product where, it was great quality, but the fit was very strange, something like that, then I'm more likely to trust it. So it's worth thinking about. If you do want to post a review, try to make sure that you're polite and that you use, nice language in how you're discussing the topic. As we continue, review trackers that we've been talking about throughout this article, I would like to know a little more about how they work, and this paragraph that begins on line 26 helps us with that.
That's right. They can trace their history of their business back to the original press clipping services, And here, press, clipping. So press meaning the printed materials that used to be printed for reviews, and clipping because they were literally clipping things out of magazines and kind of aggregating them that way instead of digitally. So they can trace their business back to that, back to the old print business.
And sometimes you'll still see this in restaurants where if they had a very positive review in a newspaper, they'll frame it and they'll put it up on the wall so you can see, oh, wow, the New York Times called it the best restaurant in the world. You know, of course I want to eat here. So that's where it kind of started, but then it moved along from there.
Well, it says that large companies migrated to digital solutions early on, and they've spent a pretty good amount of their marketing budget maintaining this, you know, aggregating all of these reviews, and it sounds like maybe smaller businesses have followed after.
Okay, so instead of just looking at the kind of reviews that are published in a magazine or a newspaper, now there's all kinds of things that they're taking into consideration.
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to gauge or measure not only the reviews, but to learn more about the people who write them, who has the influence and power, whose opinion matters on the web in terms of writers, bloggers, product issues, complaints, and compliments. And so bloggers being the people who maintain the blogs that people are reading, the famous bloggers.
Right. And so some blogs that I enjoy, you'll notice sometimes they say, oh, the people over at this company sent us this product. We really liked it. You think, oh, okay. All right, so that's a review, but the company was sort of asking them for it, which is quite clever, actually, because you're taking a source that people already trust and asking them to review your item.
I find here especially I often review on or rely on blog reviews because Yelp isn't, would you say, quite as established here.
That's
but
true.
Lots of other expats like me are reviewing places, and I want to go. If they give it a good review, I'm like, hey, I want to try.
Yeah, we'll have to look up some to try maybe this week.
Let's do it.
While we're looking those up, let's move on to our final reading.
Trackers. Only in recent years have the options for small business owners become cheap enough to be widely available. There are even free options, such as Google Alerts, that ping account holders when key search terms turn up on various sites. NetVibes and Tracker offer free tools for basic services, finding reviews, and sending immediate alerts. NetVibes' free online dashboard for monitoring articles and Twitter feeds are used by 4 million users, says spokesman Vincent Chang. Most review trackers also provide subscription options, typically priced from $20 to $500 a month, that include a range of premium services, such as computing a total score of a client's online reputation sentiment analysis that indicates proportion of positive to negative reviews, and pointing out influential Twitterers, bloggers, and journalists. Reputation.com offers a reputation advisor who may call clients and offer advice on responding to individual cases.
So if tracking your online reputation sounds appealing to you, you might be wondering, does this get expensive? Well, we see in our final section that there are a lot of options available, and so maybe it's worth exploring for you.
That's right. It has become cheap enough now because it's more widely available. When these services first came out, they probably were so expensive that only the large businesses could dive in and give it a try. But now it's widely available.
Right. And there are sort of different options and different ways that it can work. There's even some free options.
Well, that's like Google Alerts, which pings account holders when key search terms turn up on various sites. And ping is a specialized term meaning to make a short, high noise like a bell. I don't think Google Alerts actually does make a high noise, but it alerts you. It's like an older term that just means, hey, you, this term popped up here, just FYI. you know.
Right. So it could be something like a text message, or it could just be an email sent to your account, or a notification that's tracked on that particular site. There's a lot of different ways that they could notify you. And that's helpful because you could enter many different search terms, you know, anyone looking for this type of food that we specialize in, or anyone in this area of the neighborhood, and so on. So that could be very useful. In the next paragraph, we learn about a couple of other options.
Yes, NetVibes and Tracker offer free tools for basic services such as finding reviews and sending immediate alerts. Wow, those are free. So that'd be a great way to get started if you're a small business owner.
Good. And it sounds like NetVibes has a pretty useful setup that's quite popular.
It's an online dashboard, and dashboard's the word we use in our car that tells us, you know, how our engine's doing, how fast we're going, that place behind your steering wheel. That's your dashboard. NetVibes has an online dashboard for monitoring articles and Twitter feeds.
Right. Dashboard has actually kind of been adopted by software developers, and they're using it in a few different contexts where whenever you kind of get a window that gives you a lot of options on how to control different things. They're like, oh, it's your dashboard. It's like your computer is a car.
That's
it's
right.
It's kind of fun. But this is to monitor articles and Twitter feeds. How popular is it?
Well, it has 4 million users, according
wow.
to the spokesperson. And I can see why. You know, if you have the ability to directly monitor Twitter feeds, and even search them for terms, that would be huge.
Right. But that is still quite basic. It's quite simple. So as we move on, we find out, what if I want something a little more detailed?
Well, you can pay money per month for a subscription to something with premium services. It sounds like they actually analyze your reviews, and they give you a report on the sentiment analysis, what people think of your business, whether they're overall happiness, unhappy, more comprehensive results.
Right. Now, this is something we'll see a lot, where there's a basic free account for something. And then if you pay, you get the premium options. That's a business plan that makes a lot of sense for many, many online services.
That's right. Some people only need the free options. Some people do need the premium ones to do more work for them.
The cool thing, too, is that it can really grow with you then. Because if you start with the free account as you're starting your business, maybe you get more and more successful, and then you can afford to spend $500 a month to have this kind of feedback. So it sounds like it could really be a worthwhile investment. The sentiment analysis idea that you just mentioned, Joanna, I think that's really interesting because we don't usually talk about analyzing our feelings when it comes to businesses and products.
Well, something like this kind of gives a report on how pleased people are. It says it indicates the proportion of positive to negative reviews. Mm-hmm. There's 10 positive reviews for every 2 negative reviews, a report like that.
It's almost like a focus group, but more realistic and probably more effective and more accurate, too. It's giving you that feedback, I liked it, I didn't, without having to invest extra money in having people sit down and try things in a room.
Well, it also points out influential Twitters, bloggers, and journalists. I find this to be incredibly helpful, or I think it would be. This sort of service will point out the difference between, you know, Ashley so-and-so who had a horrible burger, but she only has 5 followers on Twitter.
Right.
And somebody else who has maybe 100,000 followers and just said that they didn't like their burger.
Right. Yes, very, very different influence there for sure. Next, we see that Reputation.com offers something as well.
Yes, they offer the Reputation Advisor. So this premium service might even call you if you're the client and offer you advice on responding to individual cases. And that would be quite a service if they could sum up, you know, why you need to respond to this person because they are influential or because mm-hmm. this may hurt your business if you don't do something.
Right. They're the experts. So I think that would be terrific if they say, well, here's the problem, but here's a solution too. Let's learn more from our feature today.
Hi, Greg. Every time I come here, you're busy working.
Well, Nancy, owning this bicycle shop keeps me busy. It's not easy being a sole proprietor of a small business. I've been working 7 days a week for the past 2 months.
All of this repair work sure hones your skills on fixing things. But does it get in the way of managing other areas of the business?
Oh, I don't know. My sales have been up, so that's a good thing. And my advertisements are widely seen by people in town.
Have you spent much time on the internet? Maybe with a web page or a page on Facebook?
No time for the internet, Nancy. I don't have much dexterity with computers or online networking.
Maybe you should work on that.
Why?
I was checking this site called Yelp. It's a forum for customers to air their opinions on products and businesses. There are even comments about Greg's bike shop.
Really? People have posted comments about me? About the shop?
Yes, sir.
What do they say?
Many of them like the fact that you offer premium bicycles and that you're really skilled at making repairs. That's the good news.
And the bad news?
You're too busy, and sometimes it takes you too long to get things done. So they don't like waiting too long or being without their bicycles.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. I've been thinking about adding another person to help out, so those comments might empower me to hire someone.
You can hire me to handle the sales, customer service, and your online reputation.
You're hired. When can you start?
Next week.
Great. See you then, Nancy.
Okay, so before we sign off today, I would like to know, what can we review about this article? How about the vocabulary focus? Brian, do you have a favorite vocabulary focus word from this lesson?
I really love aggregate.
Ooh.
Because it brings everything together.
Very nice. Joanna?
I give the word air 5 stars. It's very simple and easy to say and to use in a conversation, I think.
Okay. Personally, I'm a big fan of dexterity. I would give it 4 stars because it's a little bit difficult to say and a little bit difficult to spell, but it's quite useful. And I love the idea that we can have a lot of dexterity in the way we move or the way we speak, the way we think. There's a lot of different ways that we can have dexterity. We would love to hear your reviews of our vocabulary focus words or of anything else about Advanced. There's a lot of ways that our readers can get in touch with us, aren't there?
That's right. They can go to our Facebook page or go to studioclassroom.com or letters@studioclassroom.com.
That's true. And anywhere there, we do, you know, like we said before, we love it when you're polite, but we would really appreciate hearing your feedback because we, just like the business owners here, we want to keep Advanced being the best it can possibly be. So we love to hear from you. We love your feedback and your suggestions. Please do get in touch and please do come back in April for lots more exciting articles here on Advanced. Until then, this is Naomi,
Brian,
and Joanna
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.